Tanya and Steve, number one in Newcastle with McDonald Jones, the Hunter's leading home builder.
Live from the greatest city in the world, this is Tanya and Steve.
We get up, we get dressed, waking up, Newcastle's best, live and free, Triple M's, Tanya and Steve.
Good morning, welcome to Hump Day.
I'm not a millionaire.
Oh, no.
I was just telling Tanya and looking around on holidays at Christmas, doing a bit of booking, and because I procrastinate on booking hotels,
yes.
Missed by one day, texted yesterday, oh, it's gone up 120 a night.
So it's gone, literally doubled.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Well, hang on. What's the saying at the Clayfield Motel? But no, I know,
it
did, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So here's the story, right? Double rooms, BJ's a teenager.
Sure.
I remember you going through this when you started going away with Lork as a teenager.
Yeah.
So BJ's a teenager. Yeah, probably not into motel rooms now. I want to give him a bit of privacy.
Yeah.
So I was looking at a two-bedroom little renter unit, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I said to you, oh, I'll just get a one-bedroom. We'll fight for the couch.
He's a child. He gets the couch. Until he's earning his own money, you get the bed.
Really?
That's how it plays.
Does it?
That's cool. I like that.
I love you guys.
Yeah.
You know I'll cave.
100%.
Why?
You'll be sleeping
on the
lounge.
You're the one getting up early and doing your job. You've got to. This is where I'm firm on kids. When they can afford to do it themselves, they can have the big bed. Yeah. Until then, he gets the pull out.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well,
I like
you'll
that.
Be busy after 9, won't you?
Why?
Ringing BJ.
Do you not subscribe to that theory?
I love your theory. I've just never used it. I always want my son to sleep comfortably and nice.
Yeah, but they're fine.
Oh, no,
unless you're staying at a flea bitten motel, which I know you're not.
Shh. Time's tough, mate.
No.
Family overseas, I've got money going out the window. You'll love it, BJ. It's great. We can park right out front.
No,
okay,
if you stay somewhere decent.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
I haven't gone on that theory, but I will from now on.
Oh, no. I love my son more than anything. Mm-hmm. But when we're at that stage, the kids get the pull-outs and the parents get the bed.
Right,
and kids can sleep anywhere.
Of course they can.
Literally put their head down, they fall asleep.
Yeah. Surprised you're late to this.
I am.
You really are.
I had no idea how to be a prick of a parent. guys are the best.
You want to sleep?
I love it.
You want to sleep on the pullout?
No, I was going to sleep on the couch. I didn't even know there was a pullout.
Oh, you can order the pullout.
Okay.
Yeah.
Done. No, yeah. Done. No, yeah. I'm not against it. I'm on board.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see photos in a couple of months' time. Yeah. Steve on the lounge, BJ in a big king bed.
That'll happen. Just sleep together. Your father and son.
Dad, get off me.
I don't mean on top of him.
No, that's what I get when I even try and hug him goodbye.
Oh.
I'm not kidding.
Oh.
He's still fun. He's still not in the hug stage.
Yeah, okay.
Come here, mate. See you next week. Well, get off me, pedo.
They all go through that, calling us those names. I got that for a few years. That broke my heart. It's like, can you not yell that in the middle of the street, please?
That's exactly where it is.
Yeah,
get off me, pedo. I was like, mate. And you look around.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, they're ruthless.
Again, Jolja, we think they're amazing, otherwise we would eat them.
Yeah. We're back to eating bad.
Yeah. Don't think that statement last week, if you were regular to the show, was a one-off. She often mentions eating children, to the point where I'm getting a little creeped.
Anyway.
Mine is a meal, yours is a smorgasbord, Rizzy.
I've got multiple causes. It's 6:04. Tanya and Steve here at Newcastle's 102.9 Triple M. Morning, everyone.
What was your 4-minute shower song this morning? Crank it loud with Hunter Water. The Ashes is back on Triple M.
It's gone!
How's that? Get it this summer on the Listener app. LISTNR.
Hello, Hemis.
Oh, good morning, guys.
What's going on?
Well, look, plenty's going on. That's a really...
That's how he answers when he gets home.
That's true. And Sally promptly falls asleep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then you start telling
it. It's a good soporific. So, stage one of the upgrade of the Newcastle Ocean Bars. They're set to go ahead now. Council has awarded the contractor overnight. Staricon, they've got the contract, a big one, $13 million. So what's going to happen is that they're going to, stage one, it's going to be in two stages. Stage one is concreting the Ocean Bath's floor, which has been a bit controversial, a bit of a worry, because users say, well, will that affect the sand at the bottom of the ocean floor? They had a council engineer come on to the meeting and say, no, that won't be a problem. It'll actually make it a bit better and easier to clean as well.
Yeah.
Did Robbo have his shirt on?
Okay, so Robbo did have his shirt on.
Okay, good.
Although we were treated to and I'll show you the photo later. I took a screenshot of it, of his legs.
Just to fill people in, this is Councillor Alan Robinson, okay? Yeah. He's a bit of a troublemaker, old Alan.
Bit of a troublemaker, and he appeared in the last council meeting without a shirt on at one point and prompted a response from the mayor. But yesterday, only briefly, I think his phone camera switched from his face to his legs. So he was wearing shorts, so it appeared like, you know, bare legs. So we're getting a sort of a striptease in stages from old Robbo.
You just get a photo, a screenshot from each meeting, you put it together and get a nudie body.
Yeah, that's right.
See what he's doing there. It's clever.
Yeah.
but the closure, that's what people need to know.
So, yeah, it's going to start early next year. They're saying it's going to start in March. So it'll be sort of after the summer season sort of wraps up, but it won't be open again until autumn 2023.
So we miss an entire summer.
We do, yes.
Oh, what a shame.
Unfortunate but necessary.
It is.
Not in my world, though, because I love the slime at the bottom. There's nothing more fun than when you take your kids to the bath for the first time and they go, you don't know what's down there.
You get used to that, though, don't you?
You do.
Yeah. Mm. I love the jet of water as well, too. And it, like, pushes you, makes you swim fast. So, yeah, it will be closed until 2023 as of March of next year. So still a bit of time to hop for a dip. Which is good. More concerns about the beleaguered Service New South Wales app that we use to sign into places when we go to for COVID. The new alert for letting people know that they've been to a COVID hotspot, it's not as easy to access as you might think. You would think that there'd be a push notification. It would pop up saying you've been to a hotspot. Mm. Not so. Apparently, it's only shown in the history section of the app, and not everyone's getting their messages. Apparently, more than 700,000 alerts have been issued, but according to their biometric, their data, it shows that not everyone's getting that message.
Mm.
So you would think that they would have made this a bit easier by now, but
I'm so hopeless. I'm getting better at the checking out.
Currently, I think we all are.
Currently, I've been to BWS for 19 hours.
Yeah.
Right, exactly right.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm constantly getting messages going, don't forget to check out.
Yeah, it's where you go. Okay, so when you go to say a shopping centre and you scan in at the door, and then you go into a supermarket and you scan in again.
Mm-hmm.
You know how the system is that you open it back up and say, yeah, I've checked out of Coles or wherever, but then you need to go into recent. And then go, okay, I'm checking out of the shopping centre entirely. It's that same thing. You need to actually go a little bit deeper to see if you have actually gone into an area that is a COVID hotspot or has been a contact.
Well, there you go. I only check into the shops I go into and I never check into the shopping centre.
Right. Okay.
Mm. Yeah, same.
No, I do. I check into this shopping centre.
Yeah. No, see, if I get COVID, I wouldn't catch me.
Well, no, you don't.
Catch me if you can, yeah.
It defeats the purpose of the old scheme, but that's all right.
I think eventually you'd notice.
I think so,
Steve, too. Steve, why do you look like that? No, I'm good. I always don't do that front one.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. Fair enough. Finally, I think this story's been floating around for a couple of days now, but I think it's fair to say that many of us regard our pets as people.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a fair thing to say?
Okay. Absolutely.
Well, a group of hippos in Colombia, formerly owned by Pablo Escobar.
The most dangerous animal in the world.
Pablo Escobar or the hippos?
Both.
Well, that's true, actually. Yes, that's true. He imported a whole bunch of wild animals to his zoo, completely illegally, as he did. Unfortunately, since he is no longer around to look after them, those hippos have gone wild, gone rogue, and they're a major pest in Colombia. So they're after help to eradicate them. But in the US, they've actually, US courts granted the offspring of the hippos with legal rights that recognises them as people.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
So they're not to be hunted down?
Not to be... Well, yeah, the thing is that the Colombian government doesn't recognise that,
I don't know if it really... Why is the US weighing in on this?
I think it's because the Colombians were actually after US help to get rid of them, but the US government sort of went,
hang on,
no thanks.
Colombia have a government?
That's what they call the meeting at the coffee shop.
That's true.
Yeah, yes. Well, heavily moustached gentlemen.
Yeah.
It's 102.9 MMM at 6:39. This is Tenure and Steve. We're here thanks to McDonald Jones Homes. They're the Hunter's leading home builder.
They are, and of course they're doing, if you don't know, the $45,000 off every home design.
Mm-hmm. If you want to go and have a look, their display homes are back open, but you have to make an appointment. You can go and see that wonderful panorama, which is their New Hamptons design.
Yeah, Waterford Living at Chisholm. Go and check it out. Get online and have a look.
Yeah, mcdonaldjoneshomes.com.au. You can see about the knockdown rebuilds as well. They're doing it all at McDonald Jones Homes.
I love chatting about this too, because to me it's almost like the Australian flag or breastfeeding in public, because we've been talking building heights in Newcastle since both you and I have been on radio almost, haven't we?
We really have.
And it's an interesting discussion, because as years go on, and to be fair, older residents pass on, newer residents, the heights get higher.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I know so many who don't want to be a city and everything, but I've always been an advocate for the taller buildings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know particularly why. I just like the idea of us looking a little bit more of a city. And I know we're a city, but I think if you look at us, we look like a town.
Yep. Yeah, okay.
But that's just my personal opinion, and I'm allowed to have one.
Well, the reason Steve's bringing this up is that the store residences, which is what they're going to be called, the development application goes to council this week if it hasn't already. And basically, we're looking at that City West End where the Newcastle bus exchange, the terminal is for the trains, everything there. It will be put up, so they had to keep the facade, and it goes 100 metre, two towers, 100 metres into the air.
How
300
many stories?
About 30 stories.
There you go, 30. That's how I know it in my head. 30 stories,
yeah.
And so it does look like the Twin Towers.
Wow. That will be the biggest, tallest building in Newcastle.
If it's approved.
If it's approved. It was in Saturday Herald, and it was belting around online as well if you haven't seen it. But, what do you think?
I think it feels like we're growing up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't like to see us look like the Gold Coast.
No.
I hate the Gold Coast as far as all that tall stuff.
I agree.
Because it loses its charm.
Yes.
And we have got a lot of charm.
I agree. True. It's just a happy medium, isn't it?
Yeah.
You want to look enough like a city that'll be taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I call it, being taken seriously as a city, but you don't want to end up just a concrete jungle.
Yeah, and the problem I find is that we're still not there as far as infrastructure is concerned.
Yeah, no.
You can't keep throwing up all these things. There's nowhere, and then they can't at the same time go, well, there's public transport. Oh, come on.
We need some big parking stations.
We do.
And
the public transport, I think, lets us down. As far as the bike lane, there's a new 1.1-kilometre trek through Hunter Street. Really, it needs to go further.
Yeah.
If you want to get people on bikes, you need to keep them safe and to make it go further. This is part of this all these emissions, low emissions targets we've got. Why can't there be more into that? I know there's plans for pockets, New Lambton, Mayfield, but even the tram, even thinking that through, it should have gone out to the university. It should have gone to the hospital. All that to me is much more important. But then I guess you don't get that unless you have tall buildings for the argument's sake. Do you know what I mean?
That's it. You're right. Because I agree with you. But you're right. You kind of chicken before the egg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think the tram is laughable. I love it. I use it all the time.
Yeah.
But to have 2.5 kilometres of tram, come on.
Needs to go to the stadium
at
least, and then from the stadium up to the hospital.
Hey, you two.
Sorry, Steve.
Hey. We had a train line that blocked the city, and we had to wait at the lights down here. Now we got a tram that's blocked the city and we have to wait at the lights for.
We still do,
I won't have you two down in that bloody tram.
I love the tram.
Look, I do too, but I agree with you again, because it's all ahead of us, though. They have promised it.
Yeah.
But it seems weird at the moment when you've got a 2K tram.
Yeah.
I still, look, okay.
Sydney's got thousands of kilometres of tram.
I still blows my mind when we're at the lights down here at where everyone said,
Stuart
won't
Avenue.
It be good that we won't have to worry about the Stuart Avenue train line lights again? I still laugh every time I'm at a stop sign and the tram goes past. I can't help it. I'll never get over that joke.
I know.
Why didn't they start them? Just this side.
I know.
It was almost like they turned up and went, what are you doing? Oh, sorry. Oh, keep going.
And why couldn't they run a bike lane, continue it down Hunter Street towards, Mayfield, like you said, and then hook left towards straight down Hamilton and to the stadium? Then that would give you two big avenues that you could ride bikes.
Well, I think even as a show, we've proven one thing about Newcastle. It never goes forward because we're a bunch of
winches. We love a great win.
What do you mean? I'm not doing that. I'm bloody driving into town.
Because
I'm not getting public transport.
I can guarantee you, if Jeremy Barth is listening to the conversation, and we know he listens.
Yeah.
He'd be thumping the desk going, "You serious?
Yeah.
Do you know how much all this costs and how much money we've got to deal with, and we don't get any money from the state government because we keep voting the way we keep?"
Absolutely.
He'd be raving on.
Yeah, but, sorry, J-Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but on that, J-Bay, really, you know, if you just put the tram station this side,
yes.
Then we could have gone straight through Stuart Avenue. But anyway. But yeah, no, look, we're just a bunch of whinges.
Yeah.
And the one thing we really despise in Newcastle, and I agree, bloody progress. Won't have it. I won't have progress in our town.
No way.
Look.
I want the 30-story building.
And, you know,
I just want it so I can go, look, we got there, yeah. And one of them there tall buildings now. One of them there tall buildings with elevators.
And, you know, the other thing, when I first saw the bike lanes in Hunter Street, I was one of the biggest whingers going, oh, how ugly is that with all the yellow posts?
Yeah, yeah.
But as I saw a car, almost collective cyclists, where there wasn't a yellow post the other day, I went, oh, no, those yellow things are a really good idea.
Yeah,
we need them.
Yeah.
They can keep the cars in their own lane.
See, that's the problem.
Protect the people.
And there's two types of whingers. You've got the stay haters like me and the flippy floppies like Tanya.
Yeah.
So they haven't got a chance, have they?
They haven't. We feel sorry for you guys trying to plan our city.
Tanya like went up to a meeting and they're like, oh, it's over. Shut it down. The rugby league puzzle fits again.
Yeah, the legend that is Andrew Joey Johns is coming back.
Yes. I mean, so, it's been weird, Manly Parramatta.
I know. It's always been a bit awkward,
mm-hmm.
don't
Definitely.
You think?
Yeah.
So he's finally quit Parramatta, and as of next month, he'll be back training, mentoring the halves, and going forward, having a huge say in how Newcastle plays their footy.
That's
Which
great.
Will be interesting when you've got that announcement following all the arguments now about Mitchell Pearce, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, Catalan's releasing and things like that. If we lose Mitchell and we have those new young halves, you've got Joey there, which is nice to know, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Very, very good. And I thought this was a lovely, huge wrap from Adam O'Brien. Said, in all his years, no one reads the game. But whether they're a current former, you know, legend of the game, no one reads the game like Joey.
Four plays ahead.
Yeah, so love him, hate him.
Yep.
That's massive raps, and to have him back in that position is wonderful.
Especially with the young halves, because I hope the first thing Joey does is take him for a bit of a night out and show him how things are done.
Honestly,
always ending up at McDonald's.
Isn't that skateboarding shot after the grand final one of the most iconic photos to ever come out of Newcastle?
I love it.
It's the best.
I just love that pic.
Yeah.
Same.
Budgie put it on their Smugglers not that long ago.
Yeah. Doesn't look and have it on one of his hats.
Lorke's got it on a hat that he had made.
Yeah.
It's a great photo, and why not? You know, I still remember that 97 thing when the bus came back and everything. You were overseas, weren't you, unfortunately? But you did see the game.
Yes, we did, because those were the days before, like, streaming and all the rest of it. So 97.
Came in on a pelican, didn't it, in a visa, a video.
I remember Gary Harley boxing up the grand final, express posting it.
Right.
We had, like, 90 listeners in the UK, hired a ballroom.
And you watched it.
Took all our listeners, because in those days, there was no social media.
Yeah.
So no one, well, I think we knew, some of us anyway, the rest sheltered them. And then we watched the grand final like it was live in a ballroom in London.
Well, I was emceeing the after grand final
Amazing.
Thing at the workers, right?
Yep.
Bus turns up. You imagine they're jumping on roofs. It was madness.
Yeah.
And then they tried to make way. And as the players were coming through, I remember Joey and I getting eye contact, albeit that his eyes were spinning by that time. But, and we both went for a little high five or handshake.
Yeah.
I've still got a broken finger to this day. I've never been hit so hard. Oh, yeah. You know, he was just... And why not?
Passionate,
you know?
Novocastrians, I love it.
They were just so thrilled to have won that game, watching the town, in and out.
It was
madness, but that's why that photo is so good.
Yeah. Well, just on the photo, Joey actually says, best photo, wish I could remember it.
Yes.
Can't remember anything from the dressing room on, according to him.
Yeah.
No.
Cannot remember a thing for 3 days.
No.
And that photo looks like it might have been taken about 7 o'clock in the morning, do you reckon, or 8 o'clock?
Yeah.
That photo was taken as he was on his way to Daniel Johnson Silverchair's house. Right? And this is true.
Yeah.
You know, this walked in, get up. And Daniel's like, what? Well, why is Joey Johnson? Get up, we're going partying. And he took Daniel out. Remember, it was like this crazy stuff.
Oh. Yeah.
And it was the height of Silverchair and the height of Screaming Jets.
Incredible.
Like, it was just a kick year.
Yeah,
97. Wasn't it, for Newcastle.
Well, there'll be none of that carry on. He's coming back to work.
Oh, sorry, yes. We probably got off track there, didn't we,
Terry? Very much so.
Yes, we're in a new world now, Joey. Our young players need to sit at home and do Bible class and eat muesli.
Well, just be home at a decent hour. No skateboarding at 4 a.m. Hey, there's some awards that were handed out last night. They're the best experiences in Australia.
Yeah.
So they're kind of a little bit off the beaten track. But basically, they're our Australian quintessential experiences across six categories. Now, they have narrowed in what Australians love, and they claim the six things that we love and that are quintessentially Australian. Jaffles.
Yeah.
Didn't they make a comeback?
Yeah.
Vanilla slices.
Oh, my God.
I was gonna, two of your faves?
I was going to say vanilla slice. Crescent Head Bakery is world famous for vanilla slices.
This is exactly what we're talking about.
I just wrote it down. Crescent Head Bakery, best vanilla slice.
You weren't even in the studio when Steve said to me, because I was reading this list to you, and he said, why don't we go ask people where the best when they travel, what do they love? Yep. And you came in with that.
Oh, my
God. That's exactly what he said.
And I was kind of on that food track, and then I've looked down at this list and realised the one that stands out, and you'll know the one I mean. But anyway, carry on.
Well, the best country pub, I know what you're going to go for. It won't even be that. That's not Steve's.
Yep.
The best hot chips. The best hotel pool. That's you.
She's got me.
Totally.
She's got me.
Well, hang on. The last one is the best national park. So these are the six categories. Where is, according to you, the best hotel pool?
In the world.
Yeah.
Not Australia.
Yeah.
The world. And I've done Vegas pools. Yeah. And I've done some big pools. Marriott Gold Coast.
Best pool.
It's full of tropical fish. You dive.
What do you mean?
You dive in this pool and it's full of real tropical fish.
What if you stand on one?
No. They're all brilliantly looked after in this lagoon and they swim around and you swim around with them.
Like pretend snorkeling.
It's not pretend. It's you dive or you can snorkel.
Wow.
So you're swimming with the fishies.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so good.
And here's the thing before everyone gets too excited. And I remember when I went and I told T about. It was one of these super... They were doing some renovations. So it was one of these super deals. I haven't been able to get back since.
Too expensive?
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Oh, is it? Like, what are we talking?
Oh, okay, ridiculous. But, I don't know, $350, $400.
Oh, God,
yeah,
okay.
I know. But when I got there, it was like $180 a night.
Oh, okay. Wow.
King bed looking over the ocean and this pool, and BJ at the time was 10. He cried every day, joy.
Just how fun.
And they're like big tropical fish. I mean, it's a real deal lagoon.
I'm going to Google it now.
It's unbelievable.
So off the back of this, that and like Risey chimed in with the vanilla slice from Crescent Head,
yep.
We don't care. You don't have to stick to these categories.
No.
But when you travel, have you got a best something that you go, okay, if someone says, I'm going to Bega, well, then you've got to go to the Bega, blah, blah, and get the blah, blah.
There you go.
What is it, the best in your world? Where is it and what is it?
Give us a call, 1-333-53. Call us now.
I don't know about you guys, but when I find I'm going to Sydney, everyone points out bars to me.
Oh yeah.
When
opera
I go
bar.
To Sydney, they just go, oh, you've got to go to this bar or that bar or that. And I know you like opera bar, but the other one you told me about I love too.
The Hilton.
Under the Hilton.
Oh, my God, yes. The Hilton underneath bar.
Marble.
The marble bar. Fabulous. But the opera bar, just to sit there and have a little drink on sunset. With
best view in the world.
Incredible. It's basically Australia's postcard surrounding you.
Honestly, if we could have the opera bar and just over the other side that Marriott pool and vanilla slices on the way out.
Oh, my God.
We'd never leave,
Dad.
We'd never leave.
1-333-53. Give us a call right now. Is this the Marriott pool you're talking about, Steve?
That's
this one here?
That's the pool there. And where you see
oh,
the,
my God.
We're bringing up on the screen
in the lagoon area there. I'm not lying. They are legit fish. They're not robotronics.
Yeah.
legit fish that swim around. You used to swim around snorkel with them.
I love that.
And if anyone's been there, please ring up and back me on this because it sounds unbelievable, but it's true.
Well, Jake, what do you look for? What's the best and where is it?
It's the Raffin's Coffee Shop.
Yeah.
At Belmont. The Smashed Avo.
And everybody does Smashed Avo. So why is that? What is it? Zarafas?
Zarafas.
Zarafas.
Why is it so good?
It's just simple and effective. Their avocado to feta to lemon ratio is just on point.
I love that,
that's
Jake.
That's going to get back.
And I love the fact that that's obviously a place you love to holiday. off to
well,
Belmont.
It's funny, we went to, myself and my partner went out to just short of Byron Bay and there was a zarafas around the corner from where we were staying and we were just spun out. We couldn't believe it.
Don't you
and,
love that?
And was their avocado to lemon to feta ratio as good as Belmont?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
All across the board. I don't know how they do it.
Oh, it's like McDonald's, mate. They are that chain. It's done down to supreme measurement.
There would be.
And weight scale.
A cheats sheet in front of the preparation area.
What's yours, Glenn?
Curry hot bread. They've got amazing pies, and their caramel cream sponge cake is to die for.
Oh.
Caramel cream sponge cake.
What a surprise we've all headed for food.
Yeah, local food too, so far.
Yeah.
No, I'm going on holidays to Curry. Get some of that in the big green. Well done.
Cheryl, the best, and what is it?
The best is vanilla slices at Trinity Bakery, Kelso.
I don't even know where Kelso is.
No. Kelso's up near Bathurst, just outside of Bathurst.
Okay.
Yum.
Yeah, they're beautiful. We used to have them in school 50-odd years ago, and they'd be at bring in a big tray to the canteen, and if you didn't get them early in first in line, you'd miss out. But the custard in the side of them is just divine. You just lick it out with your tongue. It's just divine.
See, now, do you hear that thing there that Cheryl mentioned that's changed in the world, though?
Size?
Back in the good old days, it was like first in, tough to survive. Yeah, exactly. Now it's like everyone stand back so everyone gets a bit.
I know. Thanks,
up,
Cheryl.
Up front, flogging two. But isn't it interesting we went to food?
We really do. Oh, look, this is, you know, pre not being able to have gluten anymore.
Mm.
There was
food.
I know.
I'm the only one in the pool. Starving.
There was in Port Macquarie this bakery that did like a cheese and pepperoni twist stick. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Like it's a chew pastry, flakes in your mouth, so much oil, so bad for you. There was cheese that would drip over the edges that they'd grill hard, so you'd break those off first.
Tell me,
so
even your description of it sounds great. Is it not, and you know my philosophy of life, is it not worth being sick for 6 weeks just to have one?
Yeah.
Go on then.
Tanya and Steve.
Start your day off with Tanya and Steve and get an extra $45,000 off your dream McDonald Jones home. Only for a limited time. Discover more at mcdonaldjoneshomes.com.au.
Triple M's Tanya and Steve.
Sadly, we've all been just a little fascinated by the tragedy that came out of the Alec Baldwin shooting on the movie Rust, and curious to know where it goes legally.
And when you wake up to a headline, I don't know if you saw it, T, but there's a headline this morning on one of them. I don't even know which one. But it's one of the first things I saw and said, Alec Baldwin not blameless in this.
Yeah, I know. That was another guy that had worked on these sort of movies and claimed that Alec should have looked at the gun, checked the chamber.
But we knew this was coming, didn't we? We knew, hang on, you know, look, A, America, B, Hollywood, there's going to be blame thrown everywhere.
Oh, and they're just known for being a litigious nation. Mm. So where it ends up, who knows? But we thought we'd ask Sam Macedoni, our legal expert, from our point of view, and Australian laws are probably different to American, but what does he see coming out of this? G'day, Sam.
Good morning, Tanya. Good morning, Steve.
It's horrible, Sam, because as we said when we were chatting Monday about it, you know, someone's lost their life here, and it's awful. But I guess we're talking about next steps now, aren't we, really?
We are. Well, look, all of these sets where these pop guns are used to have two people that are basically responsible to make sure that they're kept safe. There's the assistant director and a person that's known as the armourer. Those people have to make sure that these guns are using their technology cold. In other words, they're safe. What happened here was that earlier in the day or earlier in the week, someone in the set has used this gun with live ammunition to fire at a couple of tins in the dirt. And somehow or other, someone has forgot to check that the chambers didn't have any live ammunition in them.
Oh, dear.
And apart from that, the live ammunition was kept in the same place as the blank ammunition, which is another no-no. So basically, if you're looking for fault, it's the armourer and the assistant director who did not double-check that this gun was safe or cold before it was used. I mean, all Baldwin was doing was part of his script. He was practicing pulling it out of his holster and pointing it at the camera, and it's gone off, and he didn't know there was a live round in there. So you can't really blame him unless he knew it was loaded. Mm. And you have to really look at the other two for not having checked the guns. But then again, they didn't fire the guns, so they weren't responsible for the death. The question now is whether you can be responsible through an agent having caused death. In other words, you didn't properly check the gun, so when someone else used it and it's caused an injury or a death, maybe you should be responsible.
Is it accidental manslaughter they're throwing around?
Look, accidental is accidental. What they got in the United States are three different types of manslaughter. There's voluntary manslaughter, and that's where it's an intentional homicide that's committed in the sudden heat of passion or because of provocation. You walk into a room and your wife's in bed with another man or something, that sort of thing. Then there's involuntary manslaughter, which is an unintentional homicide that's committed through you being criminally negligent in what you're doing. You don't intend to kill anyone. You're pretty negligent in the way you handle things, and it causes a death. And then there's another involuntary manslaughter, which is the unintentional homicide that occurs when you are committing a crime, an unlawful crime, but not a felony. Because if it's a felony, then you've got felony murder in the United States. But if it's less than a felony, a misdemeanor, then it's just an involuntary manslaughter. So basically, negligently causing death, but without malice, is manslaughter. But I can't see where Baldwin has in any way been negligent himself.
No.
So it's really a question of whether you go back to the assistant director and the armourer to say, why didn't you take proper care of these things, knowing full well, by the way, that they'd had two accidental shootings on set beforehand and someone had already sent a message out saying, this is super unsafe, we've got to do something about it.
So there's that will play out, obviously, the criminal charges, if at all. But then you've got the civil side of it, and I'm thinking about Helena's family, and could they then launch action for, you know, they've lost their mum and their wife.
They could definitely sue civilly for damages, but they would sue the set, the people that are running the film, Risk itself, and the producers of all of that, because they had an unsafe workplace.
Yeah.
In other words, they put someone in charge of looking after these guns that weren't doing their job properly. So, yes, civilly, different story altogether. They'll definitely succeed there, but this is just a tragedy. She was only a young woman.
That's horrible.
She had a good future. And it's not the first time someone's been killed in the state on a film set.
Yeah, we were talking about Brandon Lee.
Yeah.
It was interesting in this story that they were saying not to blame, because it was an ex-guy that was used to do all the guns and things on movies, and he said, and it's like you're really in for him, but he said if Alec was going to if part of the scene was putting that gun to his head, he would have checked it.
Yeah, look, that you would do that, but that's not part part of his job.
No, so I know, but in it's the courts, like that's they won't where care. They're trying to swing it around, you know.
Well, when someone yells to you just before you handle a gun,
cold gun
means it's safe.
Yep.
I mean, why are you paying these people if you're not going to pay attention
exactly.
to them?
Exactly.
Yep.
Sam, thank you.
So it's just a terrible accident.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. We appreciate your time as always. Thank you.
Pleasure. Have a good day.
You too there, Sam Macedoni. Yeah, that was awful when they were saying that, because I understand. Of course you would. You'd be nervous putting a gun if that was the scene.
Yeah.
But it wasn't his job.
No.
Not
that's
at
what
all.
I mean. That's where they're going now. This is going to get messier and messier.
Trying
isn't
to blame
it?
One another.
Yeah. Of
why don't they use replica guns? Because these days replica guns look exactly the same, or is it something someone to do with the weight or their hold?
Someone
them,
was having that conversation. I'm sure you heard it, Stephen. Mm-hmm. They're saying they just don't look the goods.
They don't look the same. Okay.
But going forward, won't matter. Wow. Like if they have to use different angles, if they have to, why wouldn't they to keep safe?
Well, it's interesting. Another one, because you know I am a bit over interested. Sometimes I think of this, but Tarantino, the most now how many guns does he use on set?
Heaps.
Right, and he's like, what's going on?
It's
professionals to do that job. It is not the actor's job.
Yeah, of course it is. Mm. Why would you pay them as said?
Horrible.